Oh no, my laptop's gone to sleep. Come on, wake up. Hurrah. Yay! Good. Right, hello. Wow, there are a surprising number of you. And I can't see very well at all because there's a projector in my face. Oh, come on. There we go. Right, so who am I? I'm Emily Selwood. I'm a software engineer for far too many years. I fell into the geospatial stuff entirely by accident. I don't even have a geography GCSE. And if you're older than 30, which looks vague number of you out there are, my code's probably run on your computer at some point. So, quick show of hands. Who's done some geospatially things before? Not many of you. Excellent. Not too many of you are going to be bored by the next part. So, quick introduction to geospatially things. The first and most obvious or biggest thing is how we find where someone is on the world. So, latitude and longitude. Latitude is degrees from the equator up to the poles. It's plus or minus 90. Longitude is degrees around the sphere, which is a little more complicated because we had to pick where zero was. Latitude you just pick, middle or one of the ends as the zero. But going round, we had to choose. And we ended up picking a location of a telescope in Greenwich. We're currently somewhere around latitude 52.4 or 04 and longitude of minus 2.37. Two important kinds of geospatial things that we generally play with. Oh, my head's right in the way, isn't it? Yeah. We have basically vector data and raster data, which is kind of exactly like your pictures you have on your computer, cat GIFs versus vector drawings in Inkscape. Raster data is usually measured in meters. A pixel is 20 meters, which means that a picture is said to be 20 meter resolution, which means that a pixel is 20 meters of the ground, which is a lot bigger than you think about when you're trying to do anything with this stuff, because you suddenly realize that, hang on a minute, how big is 10 meters? Can I see the thing that I'm looking for? Is it bigger than 10 meters? Otherwise, it's not a pixel. So we've got vectors, which are more commonly used-ish. We've got points, you are here markers, where is the local hack space, that kind of thing on Google Maps. We've got lines, bits of points joined together, usually for roads, paths of ships, where a migratory bird went, that kind of stuff. Polygons, also lines, but they start and end in the same place. Buildings, country borders, etc. And bounding boxes, which are extremely useful because they make everything much faster. If you have a polygon that's a country border, it's got lots and lots of little pieces, and is this point inside this other one is awkward. So if you can simplify things down to be a square, it makes things a lot easier. Much less edges to look for. The next bit is projections. So how you go from the sort of spherical thing that the Earth is into the map you're all familiar with, I'm sure, around the world. You can't really peel a satsuma and end up with a rectangle. It doesn't ever happen, it's not possible. So we have to do some maths to sort of squish and stretch everything. We have many, many ways of doing this. Humans are involved, so we've got 1,001 ways of doing it. The most commonly used for web maps is something called WGS84, which is basically your classic map that you've seen. Google Maps use it, everything close to uses it on the web. So how do we store things? Because, we need to store stuff. And again, humans are involved, so there are many ways of doing things. I'm not going to read the list, but we'll get there. So I'm going to talk a bit more about GeoJSON because I'm going to use a bit of it later. So effectively, it's a special way of doing a JSON object that is for, doing all of the points. The original one was just created in June of 2008. And then the IETF turned it into a standard, and we all love our RFCs, so 7946. It's kind of human readable as much as JSON ever is, but it's about as readable as anything gets, so I'm going to use it. Okay, so the important part of the talk. What about a country we can't put in a box? Oh, hang on, no. So a few years ago, I was working on a project to help some small island nations in the Pacific get data they need to prove to the World Bank that climate change is causing issues. Basically, they'll give you a loan if you can say, look, it really is climate change, and so you need to give them the data that proves that. Because people don't believe there's climate change. Anyway, we were working with the Solomon Islands, Vanuatu, and Fiji, which is a rather nice place in the Pacific, and it is getting screwed over by climate change. It was once part of the British Empire, gained independence in 1970, so quite late in things getting out of the British Empire, and it happens to have land on the Antimeridian, which is, you know, plus or minus 180 degrees from Greenwich. Causes some fun. So, let's try and draw a box around it. Nice simple bounding box, because we don't want to deal with the coastline and that's really complicated. So I picked some points, kind of clicking on a map in semi-random around Fiji. We'll just do a quick check of the RFC to make sure we do things the right way around the circle, because certain things will work whichever way around the polygon we go. And part of it says, a linear ring must follow the right-hand rule with respect to the area it bounds, i.e. exterior rings are counterclockwise, holes are clockwise. So if you've got more than one, that's a hole. So we want A, B, C, D, A. And as GeoJSON, it looks like this. You've got a type, it's a feature, you have some geometry, it's a polygon, it has some coordinates, and behind my head that you can't read, it's got some extra properties that are stuff that you want associated with it. You know, it could be building names, it could be whatever. We've called it Fiji-ish. Mostly because when I look at this again later and wonder what it is. So, let's try and open this in something. We're going to start with QGIS, its favorite tool for doing this sort of thing. It's an open source project. It's really pretty good. The one I use, not quite daily, but nearly. First of all, we'll add ourselves a base map so we get something to compare to. When you first open QGIS, this is just an empty white window. So we'll give ourselves OSM, and this is going well already. So drop our GeoJSON in, and oh no, that's not covering Fiji. We got everything but Fiji. Okay, let's try something else. One online GeoJSON tool, which is sort of viewer thing. It's very handy, geojson.io. Very useful for seeing things quickly. Not again. Try something else. Esri is the other desktop tool, effectively, apart from QGIS. It's proprietary, you have to pay for it. It's a lot of money. But the less said about that, the better. All right, what about Google Maps? I haven't found an online way of dropping GeoJSONs into Google Maps, but you can use their API to create something that renders one quite easily. Wait, it actually works. Okay, but why? The original 2008 specification for GeoJSON didn't specify which way round you did your squares. And when something crosses over the antimeridian, you can't tell which way round it's going. Or at least unless you say, it's definitely this one, you don't know which of the two options is right. So you can either guess, and that's what most of the things have done, and drawn the box the wrong way around the world, not what we wanted, or you can assume that it's the right thing, or assume it's following the standard, which is what Google does. Not quite sure what would happen if you tried to draw something in the wrong place, or you just error like Esri did. hang on, where's it? Yeah. The standard answer for how you work around this problem is you don't. You basically cut the shape in half around along the antimeridian and have two of them. This is a problem on its own in places because the, well, as we'll get to in a minute, there are a whole heap of problems. So, it's not just GeoJSON this happens to. This happens with a lot of things. This is Google Maps trying to navigate across the island that is our bit of Fiji. There's from the ferry service, where you arrive on this island, to the Garden Island Resort. The mangled bit in the middle is the antimeridian. But, oh, you can almost see, there's a little teeny little darker patch there. And that is the bit where the road has been split. So Google doesn't think there's an entirely contiguous road along there and will refuse to let you navigate down it because it's not the right place. And the other fun thing is the way the satellite imagery is processed. You basically always have to do this. I have attempted to do this with bits of satellite pictures across there, and it'll attempt to allocate a picture memory the wrong piece, that red box we saw earlier, and there isn't a computer on the planet that has enough space to fill that many pixels. It's not fun. As a side thing, Uber also refused to operate in Fiji, citing an unfavorable regulatory climate, but that doesn't seem to have ever stopped them before. I do wonder what that route would cost. So, there's a problem, but, like, how big is it? Where is one other country that crosses the line? Russia. I spent a while scrolling across the Google Maps and OpenStreetMap. There are about 7 roads that cross it. One of the roads ends at someone's house about 100 meters down the road from the antimeridian. Also, that road on the previous slide is the only road on the island that's any size, so I don't think it bothers the locals particularly much because it's down the road. It's fine. So while it's not a huge problem for the people that live there, for everyone else trying to do any geospatial analysis, it becomes an irritation. You do have to split images, you do have to try and cut boxes up. So how does Fiji solve this problem? You know, a country needs to know where their territory is. They need to be able to know where to send road maintenance crews. They've got to send, you know, record which plot of land belongs to who. So, as I alluded to earlier in the talk, zero doesn't have to be at, you know, Greenwich. You can move it wherever you like. It was humans who put it there after all, so, So Fiji basically have their own version of British National Grid. Again, they escaped from the British Empire in the 70s, so. So they basically put their zero point somewhere in the Pacific off the coast of Fiji and work in meters from there. Which is great, and it works pretty well as long as you're only operating in Fiji. As soon as you need to be able to copy, move things in and out, or adjust things, it's a lot of faff and a lot of maths because converting between projections and coordinate systems is awkward maths. And, you know, every time humans try and do something, we tend to get it wrong. So the more of them you do, the worse it gets. Also, that's the coordinate reference site, and it gets Fiji's bounds wrong for their reference system. another thing, my sympathies to the Antarctic survey folk. If there are any of you in the room, I apologize, but the poles are even worse because the whole top edge of the map is exactly the same point. Rather than there being two of them, it's all the same place, and very little deals well with that. There aren't any roads up there though, so no one's trying to navigate, which is great. So, in conclusions, humans major educators on a sphere. When we're writing software, most of our time is dealing with the edge cases. The middle of the map is always easy. Sometimes we just have to move the middle of the map to be where we need it to be rather than on the edges. And thank you. I think that's it.